Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's council meeting for the Mesa City Council for Monday, January 13th, 2014. I almost said January 14th, 2013. We're 2 weeks in and I'm messing up. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to serve and to conduct this meeting. Would like to, first of all, excuse Council Member Dave Richens and the Vice Mayor Alex Fenter, who are both out of town and won't be with us today. Would like to begin tonight's meeting with an invocation by Reverend Mark Rowden of the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, after which I will lead us in the, be pleased to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Fathers, it was my privilege to pray for these men as we circled the city just a week or so ago. I do again tonight. We would ask that you would undergird these men, that you would give them wisdom, that you would help them to make wise decisions and do that even tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Rowden, and me. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, which will be read into the record tonight by Kevin Christopher. Kevin?
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items in the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Mesa Hohokam's one-day civic event, Saturday, January 25th, 2510 West Rio Salado Parkway. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Fountain of the Sun Community Association, one-day civic event, Saturday, January 25th, 560 South 80th Street. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Fountain of the Sun Community Association, one-day civic event, Saturday, March 15th, 560 South 80th Street. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Venture Out Social Club Incorporated, one-day civic event, Sunday, January 19th, 5001 East Main Street. Item 3E, act on liquor license application for Fry's Food and Drug, 1915 South Power Road. Item 3F, act on liquor license application for ARCO AMPM, 365 East Southern Avenue. Item 3G, act on liquor license application for Dollar General Store, 330 East Brown Road. Item 3H, act on liquor license application for My Big Fat Greek Restaurant, 6447 East Southern Avenue. Item 3I, act on liquor license application for La Tiendita Cafe, 456 West Main Street. Item 3J, act on liquor license application for Margaritas, 10 West Main Street. Item 4A, act on one-year renewal of term contract window cleaning services for city facilities as requested by the Facilities Maintenance Department. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase replacement video projector and related video equipment for the Arts and Culture Department. This purchase is funded by the Mesa Arts Center restoration fee. Item 4C, act on two-year term contract for fire hoods for the Fire and Medical Services Department. Item 4D, act on contract to purchase replacement ruggedized notebook computers for the Fire and Medical Service Department's electronic patient care reporting system as requested by the Information Technology Department. Item 4E, act on three-year term contract for landscape maintenance services for parks, retention basins, and sports fields, Zone 4 for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. This purchase is funded by the environmental compliance fee and by the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities operating budget. Item 4F, act on one-year renewal of term contract for automotive lubricants for the Fleet Services and Fire and Medical Services Departments. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase four replacement vehicles, including two cargo vans and two prisoner transport vans for the Police Department. This purchase is funded by the Vehicle Replacement Fund. Item 4H, act on contract to purchase four replacement law enforcement vehicles for the Police Department. This purchase is funded by the Vehicle Replacement Fund. Item 4I, act on contract to purchase 3 replacement all-wheel drive backhoes for the Water Resources and the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Departments. This purchase is funded by the Utility Replacement Extension and Renewal Fund and by the Vehicle Replacement Fund. Item 4J, act on 3-year term contract for wood poles for the Materials and Supply Warehouse for the Energy Resources Department. Item 4K, act on 3-year term contract for fire hydrant water meters for the Water Resources Department. This purchase is funded by the 2010 water bonds. Item 4L, act on contract for construction of the Mesa Aquatic Complex on the campus of Mesa High School at the southwest corner of the school property. Funding is available in the 2012 Parks Bond Authorization. Item 4M, act to add 1 year to the term contract for bulk methanol for wastewater treatment for the Water Resources Department. Item 5A, act on resolution to extinguish public drainage and other easements and vacate rights of way within Mountain Horizons Phase 2 and Mountain Horizons Unit 13. New easements and rights of way will be dedicated by the property owner that will accommodate the proposed development. Item 5B, act on resolution extinguishing a portion of an 8-foot utility easement at 8237 East Fay Avenue. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance regarding A13-04, annexing land north of Adobe Road and west of Signal Butte Road. This is initiated by the property owner. Item 6B, introduction of ordinance regarding Z13-058, the 2000 block of North Sossaman Road and the 7600 block of East McKellips Road, located at the northeast corner of Sossaman Road and McKellips Road. This is for modification of planned area development to reduce setback requirements for lots in a residential subdivision. Item 6C, introduction of ordinance regarding Z13-061, the 10,500 to 10,700 blocks of East Adobe Road and the 800 to 900 blocks of North Signal Butte Road, located at the northwest corner of Signal Butte Road and Adobe Road, rezoned to establish City of Mesa zoning on recently annexed property. Item 6D, introduction of ordinance regarding Z13-062, the 10,500 to 10,700 blocks of East Adobe Road and the 800 to 900 blocks of North Signal Butte Road, located at the northwest corner of Signal Butte and Adobe, a rezone to allow development of a single residence subdivision. Item 6E, introduction of ordinance amending sections 10-4-4 and 10-4-5 of the Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications recommended by the Transportation Advisory Board. Item 6F, introduction of ordinance amending the Mesa Zoning Ordinance, Title 11 of the Mesa City Code. Amendments include various housekeeping items and minor revisions to Title 11, Chapters 2 through 8 and 30 through 34. Item 6G, introduction of ordinance amending Title 11, Chapter 5, Land Use Regulations and Chapter 86, Commercial Use Classifications, regarding the definition of vacation homes as commercial land use activity and the listing of vacation homes as a permitted land use in residential zoning districts. Item 7A, act on ordinance regarding Z13-055, the 4100 block of East Southern Avenue, located on the southwest corner of East Southern Avenue and South Norfolk, rezoning and site plan review to allow the development of a 17-lot single residence subdivision. Item 7B, act on ordinance regarding Z13-057, the 3600 to 3900 blocks of East Brown Road, located on the southeast corner of East Brown Road and North Val Vista Drive, rezoning and site plan review to allow development of a 98-lot single residence subdivision. Item 8A, act on subdivision plat, map of dedication, Crisman Road, the 5200 to 5400 blocks of South Crisman Road, located on Crisman Road between Ray Road and Williamsfield Road. And item 8B, act on subdivision plat, map of dedication, East Mark Parkway, the 5200 to 5600 blocks of South East Mark Parkway, located between the Crisman Road alignment and Signal Butte Road, and between Ray Road and Williamsfield Road. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any item a council member would like to remove from the consent agenda? I have two requests from the audience to remove items, item 4L and item 6C, although Deb, and I'm apologizing, Krimpotic? You have 6C, but 6C and 6D are sort of companion. I'm assuming you'd like both of them removed. Oh, no, that's okay. It's a little confusing because they're steps, so we'll take item 6C and 6D off the consent agenda since they are related. Okay, and you can't really do one without the other. All right. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Glover. Is there any discussion? Please vote. The vote is 5-0 in the affirmative with Vice Mayor Finter and Councilmember Richens absent. The motion carries. The next item on the agenda then is item 4L, the Mesa Aquatic Complex. Mr. Hirschberg, you want to come up and give us a quick explanation as to what this project entails? And if you could cover something about, because I think some of the questions relate to, it looks like the placement, and the citizens could tell you, get into detail, but if you just cover that a little bit and explain maybe the history and why it's where it is and what it's going to take out while you're doing that, okay?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. The Mesa High Aquatic Center, which is part of the 2012 Parks and Recreation Bond Program, in the bond program, and initially the pool was designed as a replacement for Taylor Junior High location, that which is aging. After the bond election, a group of citizens surrounding both the Taylor community as well as parents whose kids attend Mesa High went to the city and the school district jointly and asked both entities to consider moving the pool to Mesa High so that the swim team and classes, PE classes, could utilize the facility, much to the model that we have at Skyline.
And this was not the first time this had come up, though. Mesa High had been floated as a possible pool location.
Correct.
Throughout the process.
Yes, Mayor.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure that this was not an idea that just all of a sudden showed up. We'd been weighing the alternative between Taylor and Mesa High for, you know, several months, if not a year or two.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Thank you, Mayor, for pointing that out. And those conversations did occur well before both entities put those bond measures out to vote. Moving forward, as both council members and school board members and city manager and superintendency met with the resident group, it was determined that the best location for the pool would be at the corner of Southern and Harris, that southwest portion of the parking lot. The original plans through those site plans originally showed more parking spots coming out than what are currently shown on the final site plan, and those were an additional 40 to 47 spots, I believe, were restored.
Wasn't there another site on Mesa High complex that was considered at first?
Yes.
During the original discussions prior to the bond elections, the location that was originally discussed there were two locations. One plan originally showed the pool going at the corner of Southern and Harris, as it is now, with field redevelopment occurring on the back portion of the property at 8th and Harris for more fields and some modification of parking in the center of the campus. School board opted not to participate in that project at that time and move forward with their bond issue as the city moved forward with the bond issue. That's when it moved back to Taylor.
And the school decided they weren't too keen on that 8th. I guess what I'm trying to get to, so we can get a sense of the history here, the school decided they didn't want the pool on the backside because they had other plans, long-term plans, or whatever the reason was.
That was at the Southern and Harris location originally. Then we showed another concept with the pool at 8th and Harris as well. At that time, the school district said they weren't interested in participating in the plan, jointly funding it through the bond issues. So that's when the city said, then we'll just look at reinvesting Taylor since we have the utility infrastructure, everything else in place there. As the citizens group came forward and met with both the school district and the city council members, city manager's office, and the superintendent's office, that's when the idea was pushed back to the location Southern and Harris, feeling that was the best location for redevelopment of that area along the southern corridor, continuing up from the Fiesta.
As I remember, there was a time where they pointed out, what about 8th Avenue, and that was dismissed pretty quickly.
Correct. One of those reasons, Mayor, is that the utility extension is over $250,000 just to get gas and electric back to that 8th and Harris location. So we're operating on a tight budget already with this facility to bring it online, about approximately an $8 million budget to construct that facility. Adding another $250,000 in expense for utility needs extension just to get back to that 8th and Harris.
Well, as I also remember from the first time that we talked about the 8th and Harris till when it came back up in the bond issue, the school's planned use for that general area had changed somewhat. They had
gone back and forth.
They had gone back and forth, but it wasn't the same physical situation either. And so we talked about the front side. Then there was the concern of the parking that would be taken out. And then you talked about now the most recent plan.
Yeah, so the most recent plan shows, Beth, correct me if I'm wrong, about 280 spots coming out of that parking lot, still leaving close to 600 parking spots there. The city has offered, if the school district on that back portion of the driving range, if they would like to use any of that for expanded parking or overflow parking, the city has offered through other means to help with installing millings or striping through its transportation department if that's of interest to the school district as well. So those conversations continue as well.
Okay. And that's less than the original plan, which had more parking taken away. So you say that was about 40 spaces more in the original plan. So we've tightened up the site plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mayor. We've pushed the site as close to Harris as possible without overlapping any of the pool onto a sewer line that's already there, trying to avoid that cost of relocating that sewer line, and have squeezed that space within the pool itself down to an area that's still usable, still works, and added close to 50 more parking spots back into the for the school's use.
Did the school indicate that they believe that losing these spaces would create problems on a daily basis with school and things like that?
So, Mayor, maybe I'll answer that question since I had direct conversations with the superintendent, because initially there was some concerns that were being expressed by individuals, but the superintendent reported back to me after doing some review that they didn't believe that. There were a few times during the year during, I think, maybe large events, football games or whatever, where oftentimes there might have been a need for the overflow parking in that area. But from a day-to-day perspective, they didn't believe that would have a significant impact. And as a matter of fact, we were concerned that we wanted to make sure this facility for the community had a large visibility. So I think we tried to compromise with visibility and trying to retain as much parking as we can, which the school superintendent reported to us he believed that that was manageable, as well as the fact, as Mr. Hirschberger mentioned, we offered, and they've talked about, I think it's a driving range in the back, that
not,
would...
Not a golf ball driving range, literally
an actual
driving
fit,
range.
Yeah, car, yeah.
Car driving
so,
range.
So we've offered to assist with that, but he's talked about, and I don't know where they are on that, I shouldn't speak for them, but as that is a possible alternative for making up the difference in parking.
We want to make sure that the school district felt comfortable that this would not... This was an issue that was discussed.
Yeah.
It was recognized. We want to make sure that by removing parking spaces, that would not create significant day-to-day operational difficulties, and the belief that that having it there on Southern would create a visual that would be an amenity to the public. And
certainly, and it creates a great convenience for Mesa High now as far as the pool for practice. Now today, as I understand it, they're being bused to Brimhall for practice. Now they can walk out their door for practice.
Okay. Just wanted to give the history of it and let everyone know that there were a lot of concerns that I think were addressed. Now, we'll find out in a second whether we addressed all the concerns.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. All right, we have two who have asked to speak. We'll first hear from Alexis Reardon. Alexis? Come on up. And if you would, just in the right up there, and in the speaker, just restate your name and your address for the record, and then you have 3 minutes, and you're okay. Don't.
All right.
Good. You'll do just fine.
Okay, so I'm Alexis Reardon. My address is 5525 East Dolphin Avenue, Mesa, Arizona, 85206. So part of our concerns at Mesa High as a We the People class, which is a government competitive class at Mesa High, one of the things that we noticed here is that the parking on Southern and Harris, when we think about it, like, yes, the football games, like, we agree, like, it's not always full, but now that we think about it, there is going to be a whole nother set of freshmen and sophomores that are all going to be getting their license all at once here, and they're all coming. The senior class is part of being the smallest class that we have at Mesa High, and so we take up part of that parking spaces, but it's mainly all the juniors. So adding all the seniors that are going to be next year and adding all of the ones addition to that, they're all going to be getting their licenses all at one time, which means it's going to take up more parking spaces. Another one of the issues that we want to address is that with it being on Southern and Harris, when children see the pool, they can get excited about the pool. So then there could be some safety issues brought with that because they could run across the street and maybe get hit by a car. That's just one of the things that we thought about. Another thing that we thought about was that when we don't use the back lot for the driving range has not been used for 10 to 12 years at Mesa High. And so we would like to be able to move it back there because we understand that there are different, like, the budgets and the money that it takes to do that. But then when we think about it, there's also a pool right there by Franklin. And so we have the water usage to be able to use that. And that one of the concerns that I heard was that there was maybe too much loudness because of all the ruckus that is caused at meets for swim and different things like that. But one of the things that I was thinking about was it may be like that, but it's not going to be all the time that it's like that. It'll be just once in a while because a pool's not really that loud as like a football game. But it is filled most of the time during the football games and during graduation and during our homecoming time. We normally have that parking area for our carnivals, and all our traditions that we have for, like, seniors and the carnival and different things are all right there. And so it's taking away a lot of space that we do end up using. And so we would really like for it to be in the back on 8th and Harris because it's more of a convenience for us because if it's in the back, then if students park in the back with the overflow parking, they could be late for a class or there's different things that could occur if we were just to make that the parking area when it's not used at all in the back. So it could be a pool.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alexis. Next, we'll hear from Thomas Contreras. Thomas, welcome. And same thing, please state your name and address.
Good evening. I'm Thomas Contreras. I live off of 152 South New Haven, Mesa, Arizona, AFAP206. I'm a student at Mesa High as well. I'm a senior. I participate in the senior parking program that is on campus. I'm also a member of the We the People class, like Alexis. And our main concern with the pool being there, it's a great spot. I will not lie. It'd be perfect to have it there. A lot of attraction, but it's just the parking issue with the influx of students, because we have about 4,000 students on campus, and there's about 700 of us seniors, and not all of us drive. And when we leave, there's probably going to be another 1,000 incoming freshmen. That's going to add to our numbers even further. And as Alexis commented on, there will be an influx of drivers all getting licensed at one time. And it would create an issue because then we'd have to park in the neighborhood, and that might cause trouble for the people of the neighborhood. They might not like having students park in front of their house most of the school day because they might have their own family events going on or personal items that may occur during their day that they need that parking for. As also with the noise complaint for the neighborhood, my father used to live in this neighborhood and he's grown up in it as well as his family. I've been there so many times. A noise really isn't an issue because there's the occasional party, so they wouldn't be offended by the noise because there's two schools right there on the spot. We have the elementary school and Mesa High itself, which is kind of noisy during the day. I'm not going to lie. We do get a bit noisy, but it wouldn't be an issue noise-wise, I believe.
Okay. Thank you very much, Thomas. Any questions for Thomas or Alexis? Councilmember Summers.
I'm just going backwards today. I know how the mayor feels. Does staff have a picture of the site plan? Because I don't have that. It's not in the...
We put it up.
Oh. Is there a way to put it up there? Because I'd like to visualize what the students are referring to. And I suppose I could ask a question of you. How does your school assign parking permits? Is parking by right if you have a driver's license and a car you can park, or is it, do you get a certificate based on seniority at the school?
The program is based upon if you have your license, you go in, you fill out a form, you mm-hmm. put like what your vehicle is, the tags, they give you a little permit spot, and there's juniors and seniors mostly with the permits. However, there is quite a few sophomores who have the permit as well, and they also participate in this program for the parking spots.
So is it based on seniority? So seniors are issued first? I mean, I have a daughter that's going to her last year, and she's a senior. And so she was eligible for the parking permit, and the seniors got them first, then the juniors, and then if there are any left over, it goes down to sophomores. Is that the way it works at your school, or is it first come, first serve, or how has it been?
I believe it's the first come, first serve, because generally there's a lot of us, but mm-hmm. they try to get to us seniors first because they know we might have things that occur during our day, so go to a college events that we need to go to. So they try to have it for us to attend to.
Okay, thank you.
And we now have the site plan up on the screen. Up there we go. You can see it down there in the lower left-hand corner. Thank you, Mr. Hirschberg. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for the option.
Councilor Luna.
Mr. Brady, when you spoke with the Superintendent of Mesa Public Schools, is there any idea that we can anticipate the amount of drivers that are actually going to be utilizing the parking lot based on student population predictions?
Well, Councilor Luna and Mayor and Council, my understanding is he had actually, I'm not sure the right word is survey, but he had spent some time determining what the parking needs were today. And I remember him talking about their change in the high school freshman coming in and, mm-hmm. and taking that into account and realizing he didn't believe that was going to be a significant challenge. As you can see, even with this overlay on top of Google Maps, there's still a significant amount of underutilized parking that still remains. And I think our news and what we would relate to the students at the high school, we want to be their partners. What drove us to bring the pool here with parents and interest in having these facilities close by. We hope the seniors have their senior day at this lagoon and have a great party here at this pool that's right out their front door. So we will work with them. We won't use the parking will be used mostly for city events during the summer, so the school won't be in session. I think when they see this done, it'll actually be a huge amenity for this school. We will be sensitive to the parking. We'll do everything. As you notice, we really pushed the site plan as far as we could to that corner. There is a sewer line that runs north and south on that east side of Harris, so we were limited as far as how far we could go over with that. But again, the superintendent at least conveyed to us and the parents that he believed at least for overflow parking, they were going to look at the car driving range as a possibility to accommodate that in the future, recognizing that, as was stated, there are times, football games, homecomings, where they do need this parking on the southern part of this parking area, but they were going to find a solution for that to put in the parking car driving range. So yes, and all that, and we had discussions with the superintendent, with the parents. I know that we've even had a couple board members ask us some questions about this. This item was taken to the school board for direction, and this was their concurrence to move it to this location. I know that Mr. Hirschberg has been out and had neighborhood meetings and discussing this. I think when all said and done, this will be a really cool amenity for that neighborhood and for the school.
I guess the thing that I get, and like I said, I know we've been talking about this for, almost 3 years, especially when the vice mayor, this was in his district time. And I can say that both sides, the south side, the north side, were discussed, debated, looked at ad nauseum. Eventually, we went back to Taylor because of the school's questions. And then when they came back to us, it was a little bit of a surprise, but it was really an overwhelming desire to build this not only at Mesa High, but on this corner, which is where we had begun.
And Mayor, may I say in this discussion, I think there needs to be some acknowledgement after that election and that we had put Taylor in the bond election, and that's how it was initially, or that's how it was, mm-hmm. stated. Well, the dollars that we had for Taylor were not going to be sufficient to do this project at Mesa High. Council Member Glover stepped up and was willing and committed to providing some reallocation of dollars of projects in his district to make this happen. So even Council Member Glover was very helpful in bringing this about.
Taking care of your alma mater, huh?
I tried.
That's good. That's a good counselor. That was a compliment.
Thank you, Mayor.
I was complimenting you. Yeah, I think it's a dilemma. You raise great points. I'm not going to say they're wrong. They're great points. I think there's no doubt. And I guess the reason is not to try and prove you wrong, but just to say that these are issues that have been discussed and have been talked about. And I think people are going in with their eyes wide open. We recognize that anytime you take away parking, there is some point in time when that parking is going to be noticed as being gone. My understanding is, when talking with school officials, the vice mayor also, is that their belief was on a day-to-day basis, they believe that the interruption would be minimal if non-existent. They recognize that on events that, yes, you're taking 156, was it, Mark? 200?
280 parking spots.
Okay. That's a significant number. And I believe that the decision was that, yes, it would be it would create a problem on those events, but they believe that the positives that this location presented outweighed what they recognized would be negative. And we really, the city, at one point in time, we stepped back because we recognize we're willing to build this on any place. Taylor, this site, the Harris site, and so we left. And I'm not trying to pass the buck. I'm just trying to let everyone know that I think this was discussed quite a bit. And I think people are going in with eyes wide open, and we believe that the positives outweigh the downside of this. Is that understanding correct, Councilman Glover?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you. Thanks for coming down here. Yeah, I think you raised some great points. You're both seniors. I'd like to say this is going to be done before you leave, but unfortunately, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news is next year seniors will have to worry about the parking. You won't. but they'll also get the benefit. Next year, seniors may not even get the benefit, but the sophomores this year will really think this is cool. And the freshmen will also. So, okay, thank you. If there any more discussion, I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion from Councilmember Glover, a second from Councilmember Summers. If there's no further discussion, please vote. The vote is 5. I guess since you seconded the motion, you are not absent. Then you left. I'll take that as a...
Or maybe I'm here, I just checked out.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm assuming that your second means that is an aye vote.
That is an aye vote.
Because, okay, that's good. The vote is 5-0 in the affirmative with Council Member Richens and Vice Mayor Fenter absent, and the motion carries. And once again, Alexis and Thomas, thank you so very much for coming down. We appreciate it. The next item is items 6C and 6D. This is Z13-061, which is really a administrative rezone, from Maricopa County Rural 43 to that of RS35. And then the big change, which is Z13-062, which is item 6D, which is a further rezone from RS35 to RS15 PAD, which is to allow the development of a single resident subdivision. Presentation, just a short one.
Yes.
Explain to us what we're doing here.
Yes, Mayor and Council, this is an introduction for these cases. This is property located at the northwest corner of Signal Butte and Adobe, 40 acres. It's in the county. It has previously been platted in the county with a 40-lot subdivision. The current owner of the property has requested annexation and then the rezoning of the property to RS15 PAD to allow for, as a stipulated, a maximum 71-lot subdivision. The general plan for the area is low-density residential, 1 to 2 units per acre. The density of this property comes out to 1.8, so it's within the general plan range. We've worked with the developer to respond to the lots around this particular development in terms of the lot sizes and something that would be compatible for the area. Comes to you with a recommendation for approval by staff and by the Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay, just real quickly, because I know this is just introduction, and so the final action won't come for a couple weeks, but when it was zoned for 1 lot per acre on the county, that would have just been a grid, 1 lot with no required improvements or anything. You could have literally, I don't know, maybe the county doesn't allow dirt roads anymore, but you almost could have had just a strip and no amenities or no improvements other than that, correct?
Correct.
And so the idea with going from a standard 1 lot per acre to a PAD is it gives us the opportunity to move things around to maybe create more opportunities for for planned open space and for also to require certain improvements and other things. Is that an accurate statement?
You see the site plan, you'll see a large open space in the middle. It'll be a nice amenity for this development.
Okay. Is that going to be an improved amenity? Or are they going to leave open other open space? Because this is in the desert uplands, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. So there are dark sky and other requirements that are put into that, or suggestions, or I'm assuming those have all been taken into account.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Deb, you want to come on up? Now, once again, this is an introduction, which means this is not our final action on the deal, but you're still more than happy to or welcome to state your case, and then it'll come back again in 2 weeks.
Great.
For final action.
Great.
Okay?
My name is Deb Krompotic. I live at 10524 East Adobe, so just adjacent to the property that Blandford Homes is planning to build, over 70 homes on approximately 40 acres on the northwest corner of Signal Butte and Adobe. So it's just adjacent to our property. We oppose the development of this in absence of a solution for our road. We live right on Adobe. It is a dirt road, and it connects from Signal Butte to Chrisman, and at the end of Chrisman is Smith Junior High. So our road is privately maintained at our own expense. So about every 6 months to a year, we have to rent a grader and actually improve our own road. So the developer wants to really come in and sell lots and then move on, leaving us to deal with both the safety issues and the dust issues on our road. And that will be a high-density neighborhood that will have junior high students that will walk down our road, or their parents will transport them down our road. We're only 10 homes on that road, so I realize we're the little guys on this. But all 10 of the homeowners on that property have actually signed. We're all unanimous in support of that the developer should be held accountable. And I just really want to underscore that Smith Junior High is at the opposite end of this road. And children walk down that road, and more children will come with this development. And I'm just urging you to hold the developer accountable for the problems that they're sure to create.
Let me get, if I could, I'm a little bit confused. So, okay, this is at Signal Butte.
Signal Butte and Adobe.
Smith Junior High,
is
by the way, great name. Great
and
name.
Adobe.
great man who it's named after.
Yeah. But
I'm just a tad bit biased on that. Mm-hmm. That's at Chrisman and Adobe.
That's correct.
This is at Signal Butte, so mm-hmm. this is a mile east of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is you live on Adobe.
I live on Adobe.
Okay,
and that's
there's a stretch between the eastern boundary of Smith, or to the east of that.
To the east of that. Mm-hmm.
That then continues out to
Signal
Butte that is unimproved.
Right.
Okay. You're in the county?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's county. That's a county road?
It's
or
privately maintained.
It's privately maintained. Is that means it's a private road, or is it a...
I don't actually know the history on that, but I know I paid for it to be maintained.
I guess the county wouldn't accept it as a dirt road.
You could be literally in the county with...
Nothing.
Very easily.
That's interesting. Okay. Mr. Wesley, was this discussed during the planning case?
Mayor, board, we did have a citizen come and voice a similar concern at the Planning and Zoning Board. The developer will be responsible for their half street of the frontage in front of their property to make that a usable street. But from there on over to Chrisman, that is outside of their normal requirements to do any improvements.
But Smith Junior High is at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but wouldn't it stand to reason since the 70 units, I mean, these are R15, these are going to be families that move in. These are not retirees moving in there, right?
Correct.
Wouldn't it be normal to think that they're going to head straight down Adobe to Smith?
Yes, Mayor, it would be reasonable to assume they would have a few...
And isn't that new traffic that's going to be created by this subdivision?
Yes.
And when they drive down that, if that's unimproved, you're going to create a lot of dust that isn't there right now. So they will have I think it's foreseeable that they'll have a direct impact on these neighbors?
Yes, it is foreseeable that there would be an impact.
I'm struggling a bit with this. I think it's not only foreseeable, I think it's absolutely
inevitable.
Going to happen. It's inevitable. Thank you, Councilmember Cavanaugh. It is inevitable that there will be not only a few cars, there's going to be significant traffic traversing this. And go ahead.
So for your actual hearing in 2 weeks, we can bring back further information on this, maps to illustrate it and see if there are any options to address it.
Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Also, if the county, I'm curious if the county has any jurisdiction over this road, because I'm wondering if we could also contact county staff or the county supervisor who serves this area, because I think it also might be some county responsibility maybe to help jointly develop the road, because to me it clearly creates safety issues that I'm uncomfortable with.
Mayor. Councilor Summers.
I'm just looking at Adobe Road, and I'm curious because
there's a stretch in the middle that's not blacktopped.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Exactly.
Because as I look at the aerial map on Google Maps, it's just, it looks like it's between 104th and just a smidge east of 105th.
Now, is that legal term, a smidge?
I don't know. You're the lawyer.
That's about right according to our addresses. That's about right.
Does that mm-hmm. seem about right? And then it seems like you have some water retention issues too along it. But mm-hmm. So we're really talking about that area's a block and a
it's like
an illegal
ten,
smidge.
It's 10 homes. They're all on acre lots, so it's not a huge amount, but it's right in front of my house and. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference to me, and I think it'll make a difference to a lot of kids that walk down that street.
And just as a hypothetical, if we approve that and wanted to make improvements to Adobe and do some kind of rural road asphalt kind of a thing, that would be something the neighbors would be interested in?
The neighbors are all in support.
Well, they're in objection to this because of that.
Exactly.
But if they're in support being in support of the asphalt would be maybe a different question to ask.
It might be, but we talked about it, and we had unanimous opinion of the same, that the road needs to be dealt with. It's not, the developer should not walk away from this problem.
Yeah, we haven't historically chained developers, although I agree with the mayor here that clearly this development, it would be logical it would have an impact. It seems to be that there might be some agreement that could be made to help improve that, and if for no other reason, too, the dust isn't just a county problem. It becomes our PM10 problem, our PM2.5 problem, 2.5 problem. So if we could, I don't know what the solution is right now, Mayor, but if we could help find the solution to that.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting we try to bring that up to city standard, but certainly some kind of a county standard might be.
Councilmember Luna.
So my concern was that is if we can take care of that road issue, that would quell the community's concern relative to paving it and making it safe so that students can traverse from the development to Smith Junior High. So if we can find some kind of reasonable solution mm-hmm. to deal with that issue, then that would satisfy your concerns mm-hmm. as far as the neighbors.
Yes.
So
we've been to all the neighborhood meetings. We were to planning and zoning. So we've really tried to work this through the channels. But really, we're just not satisfied that we've got a solution to our problem and our concerns.
Well, I think one of the challenges is that, number one, is do you require the developer to do this? And so you automatically jump to the thing that, well, this is well off their site. This isn't normally what we do. But I think that's not really the issue. The issue is we're creating a situation that is really not even in the city. I mean, we could just throw up our hands and say, hey, have a nice time. You know, that's not something I want to do, because I feel your pain in the sense that there's no doubt that you're going to have an uptick in traffic coming down that road. And right now, nobody would go there because there's nothing to go to or from, except for, you know, there's some ranchettes along in there and a lot of houses, but there's probably 10 of them there. And now you're looking at 70, so I can see your concern. I guess the question is, and to get back to what Councilmember Summers said, what is the status of that? Because it says East Adobe, but as I look at how it was built, it's almost more like a driveway than it is a roadway. And so the question is, if it is private, you know, the fact is that we seem to need to get to with the county to see what their plans are and if they have any plans of ever taking Adobe through or what they want to do or creating a right-of-way there or what they want to do, because this is really a county issue to see whether they will improve your land, and if that is not on the county's plan, that becomes basically a private drive. It's not a road. Then I guess you could have the option of restricting access down that road. You know, you could put up a gate. You could do all sorts of things to put up a gate to basically block that flow through traffic. That would be your solution. We can't force a solution on you. You're in the county. Whoever builds that road is in the county, and that's. And I'm not trying to lay it off on you. I'm just trying to find this solution. Really, you need to find out what the legal status of that stretch of roadway is. It seems to me like it's private property, and you just almost have the equivalent of a driveway. Debbie?
Mayor, I don't personally know whether it's a county road. It's not in the city of Mesa. I agree with
right.
that. Whether it's a county road or a private drive.
But if it's not dedicated and it's privately owned,
correct.
It's basically a private drive.
Correct.
And unless the county has plans to take that into their road system and dedicate that as a right-of-way, because they won't build on an easement, I would assume. They probably have the same. We don't build on easements.
They're even more sources.
And my guessing is, you understand the difference? Mm-hmm. The easement would be you give them the right to go over that, and we won't lay asphalt on easements because mm-hmm. it creates all sorts of problems. Mm-hmm. They would literally have to take it as a right-of-way and make that part of their road system. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to have flow-through traffic on what is essentially a private drive. So what I would say is maybe I would like us to at least get some more information and resolve that. Councilman Luna, this is in your area.
Yes, I agree. I think that if Mr. Wesley and Mr. Brady can come up with some potential solutions so that we can resolve this
issue. Mayor, and the other option, here's the challenges that property owners that are going to move into this new subdivision that's going to be embedded with the cost of this new street are going to pay for that in their land values. In some options is to do street assessments. If we can get enough property owners, then we'd have to have a dedicated right-of-way and mm-hmm. go through an assessment. That's another way of getting it. It's a long road because you have to get enough property owners
yeah.
and willing to pay for their share.
Well, the developer would define that right up front,
right,
and they would have to sell the lots right. of that. But it still goes back to the original question: we're looking at building a road, and we don't even know if we have the right to build the road, or even the county has the right to build the road.
Oh, I'm assuming the way these are typically split, he can build his road down to his half on his frontage.
Yeah, but when you look at that physically, I'm looking at Google. I'm sorry, for those in the listening, in the viewing audience, if you look at this, this is not a straight through thing. There's literally, if you look on Google Maps, and it would be great if we could pull that up, but that's all right. Gordon, you want to see if you can pull that up? It would be instructive to pull that thing up and see why I say it's basically looks like a drive.
Yeah, right.
Now they could get there with Fenimore. On paving.
Mayor, what I find interesting, if you zoom in, is the alignment of their...
Well, that's why I wanted to pull it up there, yeah.
Well, not only of Adobe, but what I'm looking at is the alignment of their front...
It looks like there's a right-of-way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
yeah,
looks
it does.
Like there's... Exactly, because it does have that little hiccup, another legal term.
Yeah, it looks like you got a fence line that would appear to be on the edge of a right-of-way that comes right down that southern edge of the existing Adobe.
And goes all the distance, is it just about the distance of Adobe all the way to Signal View.
Yeah, it is. I see that. Well, this is unfair. We're having a discussion, and you guys can't see it, so.
Well, it looks like this has already been laid out. The subdivision's been laid out, John.
Yes.
Colt Road Street.
We're looking at where Adobe comes in there. When it comes up on the map,
Mayor, Council, what the city manager is referring to, I think, is on the site in particular from the previous plat that was approved in the county. You see those roads that were cut in before.
That stretch right there.
Why don't you close out that left panel?
Close out the left and blow it up just a little
right
bit.
Yeah, right there. Oh, keep going.
I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, I'm...
Get Alex to shook up here. He's their IT guy.
Mark.
Are there any 15-year-olds in the audience?
Push that.
There you go.
Perfect.
Do you want to zoom in one more?
Zoom out?
In.
Zoom in.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Make it bigger.
Other backyard.
Okay.
but that's a good view. You can see the where they're
Okay, now back up to where Adobe is.
That's Adobe.
Move it. No, other way.
Okay.
I mean, 104th. Okay, there you go. See that? See that curve right there in the middle? That's Adobe coming in, and it curves up. Right now, if you look, see where the dirt comes. See how that's curved? That looks almost like a private drive.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you look down, look on the south. No, move back, Gordon. Okay, there. Look on the south side of Adobe. How you have what looks like a fence line. Okay. Go to the curve to the south side of Adobe.
Okay.
No. Just move your pointer. Don't move the map. Just move your pointer.
Okay.
Grab it and pull it up.
Right here.
Yes.
Right there. See that?
You can follow it straight across.
Now see how that... Well, look, go back to where it starts. See? Back to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going to the west.
Keep going. Boom.
Right there. See, there's the edge of Adobe. There's the southern edge of Adobe right-of-way. Now, if you follow that straight along the west, it looks like a fence line, which looks like a property line, which looks like it might be a right-of-way. Am I missing something there?
Is that 104th coming down? So it's intersecting.
That is 104th.
Yes, 104th, yeah, because it peaks up this
way. Does everyone see what we're looking at?
Yeah. It looks like you have right-of-way to the south portion of that.
That's what it looks like. And that, see how that follows all the way through?
Yeah, and then even on the...
Even here.
Even right there.
Even there's a fence line on that property to the north.
Yeah.
You can see right away up there, too.
You could trace it all the way over to...
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we need to do is let's look and see what the legal status of that is before we go jumping into solutions or whatever. Because if that right of way exists and if the county actually owns that, then there's a much different solution. Because then we go to the county and say, okay, we've got a bit of unimproved road here, and there's development on both sides, and you've now created a huge problem in between. That seems to me where the discussion needs to begin, is to find out where what exactly the status of this. Because that sure looks like there's a property line there, which means there's a right-of-way that exists.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Mayor, if you can even public access. I mean, if that's a private road coming just on the edge of the property in question, that's the zoning, you can see where that driveway ends. It looks like it goes into a private drive around that southwest corner. So the property owners may be able to restrict local,
access. That goes back once again to the question of what's the legal status of the property right now. If that is already in the county right of way, and they've just it's an easement right by prescription, because people have just built over it, which happens all the time in the county, then it's not a private drive. Or I guess it would be, but we don't want to get into that kind of situation. If the county owns that and they have that as a right-of-way, even if it hasn't been dedicated, if it's on their map, it's a different thing to solve your problem than us getting the developer to do something. Because the developer couldn't go in and pave that over anyway. Because it's either county land or it's your land. It's one of the two.
But if it's private, they could gate it.
I'm sorry, what?
If it's private drive, they could gate it.
They could dedicate it. They could gate it. Oh, yeah. If it's a private drive, you could gate it. If the county owns it, though, you can't gate it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So
that's why it gets back to what is the status of the property. And Mr. Wesley and guys, if you want to look at that and let's see what's going on. And if you want to go back and see, which, if you don't mind, you don't have to show us which one's your house because we're in a public meeting. No. That's all right.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a great pull. No, we don't have to do that. But if you look on that, I think what we need to decide is what is the status of that before we can figure out. And then we might go back. Let's say it's a private drive. You can either gate it, or maybe we can have you go with to the developer, and we'll put you together, and you can work out an arrangement with them, or we can do whatever. But I think we need to figure out what the legal status of that property is.
So this will come back in 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Well, yeah, we'll find out the information.
We'll talk to you before we bring it back.
Was David,
we'll visit with you before that. So we won't.
I Councilmember Luna asked to continue.
Continue the
introduction. At least 2 weeks.
Well, we'll do this, and we'll bring the other back. Before we bring the other back, we'll bring it back in study session, visiting with the neighbors.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep. Yeah.
So we can take this action, but we won't bring the other back until we come visit with you.
Until we get a solution.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Is that okay,
yes.
Councilor Luna?
Yes.
All right. Is that all right?
Perfect.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hearing,
right? Okay. So let's continue this. That's item 6C and 6D.
We also had on there the annexation. The applicant's not here to say whether he'd want to go ahead with the annexation delay also. But
hold it all off.
We've already voted on the annexation.
That's true.
Welcome to Mesa.
We were going to suggest just voting this go ahead and vote this as introduction and not bring the other element back until we come to a resolution. So you can take action to approve tonight. Or whatever you want to do. That was just...
Well, you know, for example, we could let's just do them both together. Mm-hmm. That makes it cleaner. Okay? Is that what you... 6C and 6D? What's the other item? Is there another item on here?
6A was the introduction for the...
Oh, 6A. We missed that. My bad. Oh, that's because it had a different...
That's just...
It had a different description, but that was introduction also. Okay, so when we vote for introduction on 6C and 6D, will be 6A, 6C, 6D will be at the same status then. And we just will not, we will just not bring any of those three back, or 6B, 6C, 6D, not 6A, yeah. Those three will be at the same status, we'll have introduced, but we will not bring those three back until we get a final resolution of that. Is that okay?
Yeah, I would recommend if the council wants just to go ahead and approve all these.
Let's keep them together.
Keep them together so that we don't want to lose one behind.
Yeah, let's keep them together because
we will not bring the final actions
of all three
okay. Until we've had a chance to.
All right, is that okay?
With the council member and bring it to study.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion then to approve 6C and 6D. We have a motion from Councilmember Luna, a second from Councilmember Glover, with the caveat that these will not come back for final action until we've answered these questions.
The only concern I have is that if we make a change or we enter into some kind of a development agreement, is that not going to require the reintroduction of the zoning?
Mike?
So I wonder if we just hold off. I mean, if we enter into some kind of agreement, we don't have to reintroduce the annexation. So we can pause the annexation, hold off on the introduction of these two until we enter into discussion, and then still move all three forward pretty much at the same
time. But if
there's
a change, it really doesn't change the status if you don't
either
introduce
way,
them. So
our point is if you have a development agreement, yes, we'll have to do that. But if that's not the issue, if there's no ownership here, if it's ownership by private owners, then maybe different.
Well, I'd still like to talk to them because I'd like to know. I think even though, yes, granted, if you look at our subdivision ordinance and our rules, we would not require them. I'm a little bit leery to place a negative burden on an adjoining owner simply because of our approval. And I think this is an unfair burden.
Oh, right. No.
On them, even if that's a private drive, I would like to consider, because I just don't feel comfortable just saying, "Yep, you're on your own." That for some reason that doesn't sit well with.
Well,
me.
Yeah, I was.
So we'll come back and talk about it either
if
way.
If they have the rights under a private drive to gate it, then they can.
I'd like to at least talk about that and see what that would entail and what that would do. Because I don't believe even if there's a right to gate it, that's not going to be the long term solution. Because at some point in time, either the city or the county is going to improve Adobe through. It may not be in my lifetime.
We'll take on a tour. There's a lot of these out here.
No, I know there are.
A lot of these out here.
And that's what I'm trying to avoid is creating another one.
Yeah, well.
And I get it. I don't know how you totally do it, but there may be something that this is an inevitability of when you live in the county, guess what? Development will happen. I know you've experienced that
we got a lot
already.
Of people that are in the city.
You just happen to be between development and a fine junior high, I might say. If this weren't the best junior high in Mesa, I might feel differently. But okay, so Councilmember Leonard, what would you prefer to do? Just take them through now and then put them on hold, or continue with all three of them?
Just continue with all three of them.
Okay, we'll continue all three of them. Well, can we undo the vote? You can't undo the vote on 6B.
Not right now.
Not so, unless you reconsider.
Yeah, let's
just move. Leave that one. We'll watch it. We'll keep it together.
Okay, you sure?
It's not going anywhere.
All righty. Okay, so 6C and 6D will be continued, and 6B will bring it. Well, we'll bring it to. We'll just hold 6B until these other two get approved anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They'll end up as a threesome. Okay. All righty. Next item on the agenda. Does that make sense to everyone? What we just did. Well, I'm glad you understand, because I'm totally confused. No, I think we understand where we're going. Thanks for coming. Thanks for showing up. Next item is items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak, Ms. Nicholson?
No requests.
All right. There being none, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilman Kavanaugh, second Councilman Summers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you.